For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This verse from Paul's letter to the Galatians we just heard is not primarily referring to water baptism. Water part of baptism is our ritual action that points to a much deeper reality. Real baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit places you in the body of believers. Paul says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, no longer male or female, for you all are one in Christ's Spirit." We ritualize this reality of the Holy Spirit in baptism. After we baptize with water, the baptized person is then anointed with the holy chrism oil, and the priest says, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever." In baptism, we are claimed by God in the midst of community, marked as God's children, a claim that can never be undone. This morning we mark Grayson Cooper Wolf as Christ's own forever. We are identified, we are in reality and truth put into the body of the church, the very body of Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have now put on Christ. God sees you in Christ. Therefore, God sees you as perfect. When God gazes upon us, he doesn't see our faults primarily or our weaknesses, where we sin or miss the mark. Rather, what God sees is a beloved child through baptism. And the power of the Holy Spirit is now literally put you into Christ. Also, it's important to note, baptism into the church does not mean one specific denomination, but baptism into the body of Christ. This is why baptism is done only once. Regardless if you are baptized in the Episcopal Church, the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church, Lutherans, or most other churches, baptism is into the body of Christ. Once you are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever, you do not need to be rebaptized. This truth of who we are in Christ is also reflected in our Eucharistic prayers. In Rite 2 today, I will pray, "Sanctify us that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom." At the monastery of St. John the Evangelist in Boston, when Holy Communion is presented to the people, the priest says, "This is who you are. May we become what we receive." May we become the body of Christ who claimed us through God's Holy Spirit and be Christ in the world. The season of Pentecost is also the longest season of the church year. It started on the Feast of Pentecost, June 9th, and now will continue through November 24th. It is the season when we reflect upon how we are called to be Christ in the world and to be his body, the church. I believe we should consider our role as members of the body of Christ through five virtues: faith, hope, love, worship, and service. Again and again, we will look at our role through these virtues during this season of Pentecost. Last week, I began by considering faith as opposed to looking for concrete answers to questions that often have no answers. Faith is a belief, but not belief built on concrete answers as Jesus told us last week in the gospel. We cannot always bear to know the answers about the future, but if we trust in God's Holy Spirit, we will know what to do at the right time. Trust God, then, to give us what we need to face the situations we find ourselves in our life. Much like the virtue of faith, hope is also rooted in a deep sense of trust and reliance on God's promises. We look around at our world situation and see things barely recognizable even a decade ago. The erosion of institutions, relationships, and things we hold sacred seem to be disappearing before our eyes. The unique quality of hope is that, in the midst of grief or illness, we turn to hope, new life arriving with the dawn of each new day. Embedded in hope is the promise that whatever terrible situation or condition in which we find ourselves, it will not last, but the dawn of a new day and new life triumphs in the end. What's possible is central in hope. My mentor in a DC retirement community, Dr. Ray Stevens, would say, "While faith, hope, and love survive, the greatest may be love, but the strongest is hope." It wasn't hard to see that borne out each and every day with the elderly I worked with, and especially those nearing death. The hope they had was an amazing thing to behold. They hoped for a death that would come and bring them ultimate healing and fulfillment of their life journey. And it's not just older persons who rely on hope. I want to share with you a short story about the power of hope. The DC school system had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork during stays in a hospital. One day, a teacher was assigned to visit a particular child. She took the child's name and room number and then talked briefly to the child's regular classroom teacher. "We're studying nouns and adverbs in the class right now," the regular teacher said, "and I'd be grateful if you could help him understand so he doesn't fall too far behind." The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that afternoon, but no one had mentioned to the teacher that the boy had been badly burned and was in tremendous pain. She was very upset at the sight of the boy, and she stammered as she told him, "I've been sent by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs." When she left, she felt she had done very little that day with the boy. But the next day, she came back and the nurse asked her, "What did you do to that boy?" The teacher felt she must have been done something wrong, as so many of us right away think we're doing something wrong. That's our go-to place. And she began to apologize. The nurse said, "No, no, you don't understand what I mean. We've been worried about that little boy ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's now, for the first time, fighting back, responding to our treatments. It's as though he's decided to live." 2 weeks later, the boy explained that he had given up completely on hope and living until the teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to a simple realization, and he said it this way: "They wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they?" That's the power of hope, the power of the promise of a future, especially when we cannot see a future before us. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." As members of Christ's body, we are called to take faith, hope, and love into a world that often feels hopeless. a world desperate for a message of hope, a message of healing, and a message of love that is ours, that we have discovered as members of Christ's body through our own baptism into Christ Jesus.